Listen to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Come close. Seek my face. Come into this holy place. Experience my grace. Exercise your faith. For I have called you for great things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Receive something from God's word. As I was praying and meditating, these words just kind of came to my heart. I didn't hear a voice, but you know, God just puts things in your heart. You know, he speaks to your heart. And it was how faith shapes your life. Did you know that your life is shaped by what you believe? Your belief system, it causes you to live successfully or not. You know, it works positive and negative. You are what you believe. If you believe you can't, then you can't. But if you believe you can, then you can. You become what you believe. Right? Gideon became a mighty man of valor. Abraham became a father of many nations. Why? Because he believed it. And what he believed, he became. What he believed, he did. You can do what you believe you can do. You can have what you believe. Right? You are shaped by your faith. Your belief system will determine whether or not you're successful or a failure. If you believe that you're a victor, then you'll get the victory. But if you believe you're the victim, then you'll never get the victory. And faith in God changes the way you live. How many, when you met Christ, you changed the way you lived? Yeah. Right? I stopped doing things that I used to do because I met Christ and I believe things differently. Because when you meet Jesus, you live differently. When you encounter truth, you change your belief system. If you believed a lie, you were in bondage. But if you believe the truth, then you experience freedom. Okay? When you come to Christ, your heart changes. Your perspective changes. Your knowledge changes. Who you please changes. How you do things changes. How you treat people change. You become bold. You resist Satan. You discover who you are. Why you were created and what your assignment is. Everything you do is shaped by faith. Faith fashions you, forms you, and develops you. Faith makes a difference in your life. So we're going to find out how faith shapes our life. These are just some things that I wrote down, and then we're going to get into some specifics. Faith gets you in the right direction. Faith is what you exchange in heaven's store to get what you need, right? God doesn't have dollar signs on healing, but he has faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Faith is what you live by. Faith aligns you with God. Faith makes you whole. Faith saves you. Faith accomplishes the impossible. Faith is heaven's means of exchange. Faith overcomes the world, and faith justifies you with God. Now, faith originates with God. And faith's disposition is joy, peace, and rest. When you're in faith, you're full of joy, you're at peace, and you're in rest. You let faith do the work, right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is the story of the centurion. If you go down to verse 13, just because of time, I'm not going to go into the details of the story. But in verse 13, it's Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you." So what was done in the centurion's life? Okay, what was his problem? His servant was sick, right? And he sent some people to Jesus, okay? And Jesus would have come over his house, but he said, "You know what? I'm not ready that you should come into my house, all right?" But he said, "Only say the word, and it shall be so." Because what the centurion knew is he knew authority. He knew the chain of command. And he knew that when Jesus spoke, whatever he said happens. So Jesus' response to him, the centurion situation was shaped, fashioned, and formed by his faith. He said, "Go your way as you have believed, so be it done unto you." What was done was directly according to what he believed. He believed that if Jesus said something, that whatever Jesus said would happen, and that's where his faith was. Okay? And notice the servant was healed the selfsame hour, the hour when he believed, the moment when he believed. When he believed, he released the power of God on that situation, and that situation changed by what he believed. Okay? And there was another part where Jesus marveled at his faith. All right, go to chapter 9, verse 22. We're talking about faith makes you whole. Well, being made whole, would that shape your life? You know, you have this sickness, you have this infirmity, you have something that's hindering you, stealing from you, taking your time, and you need it to change. What's going to change it? Faith will change it. Faith will change that situation. Faith has the ability to change the situation. Or, if we lack faith, then nothing's going to change, right? Okay? Matthew chapter 9. And let's go to verse 20. "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years." 12 years is a long time to have something, isn't it? Now, we know from Mark that she spent all of her money. She saw several doctors, but her situation didn't get better. It actually grew worse. Okay? And, you know, Mark tells us she heard of Jesus. That's like hearing the word, hearing a message about Jesus. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. What would make a woman go through a crowd just so she could touch the hem? I mean, you think about it. She was probably crawling if she got to the hem. Would you crawl on your hands and knees to get to Jesus? I mean, she tried everything else for 12 years. And not that those things were bad, they just didn't work. But how many know faith in God will always work? Faith in your, when you put your faith in God, when you believe what God said, it will work on your behalf. It'll work for you. So she came and behind him touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. That's a bold statement. You mean, but see, that's what she believed. She believed that if she touched the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. How do we know she believed? Because she did it. When you really believe something, you'll act as if it's so. And this woman, she had to make her way through the crowd. And it probably wasn't easy. But notice what Jesus said. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good cheer, my power healed you. Is that what it says? What healed her? Her faith. Her faith healed her. Her faith shaped her life. Her faith formed in her health. Health was not there before until faith was activated. She was carrying around this sickness, carrying around this illness, dealing with it, putting up with it. But the moment she believed that it would change because of Jesus, Jesus is the Word, Jesus is God, it was her faith. Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Faith simply activated the power that was already there. It was faith that caused her to make her way through the crowd. Faith caused her to reach her hand out, and faith caused her to touch that hem. And when she did, something connected. She got a hold of a live wire. And virtue went into her by her faith. And that power was released by faith, and that power went into her, and her faith made her whole. Her faith shaped, fashioned, and formed her life. Say, faith makes me whole. See, when you believe that faith will make you whole, you'll talk like it, you'll act like it, you'll walk like it. Because that's what faith does. Faith changes your life. Faith changes your perspective. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want you to know something about faith. Another thing about faith. Faith lives justly. How many know if someone has been incarcerated for 5 years and they get out, it requires them to live differently, right? You go from living in this small of space to having a bigger space, okay? So Romans chapter 1, verse 17, faith lives justly. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now we know that everything that God does is by faith. He created the world by faith. Everything he does is by faith. So righteousness is revealed from faith, from the faith that comes from God who is faith, to our faith. And God reveals Christ to us. He shows us that Christ is the way, Christ is the light of the world, Christ is the truth, and then it says, the just shall live by faith. How does a just person live? You got to live just as if you've never sinned. Don't see yourself as an old sinner. Because when you come to Christ, you get a new nature. You get the nature of God on the inside of you. You get eternal life. Faith lives. Faith doesn't die. Faith lives. And faith lives justly. You are justified by faith. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, anytime you see that word, you better look and see what it's there for, right? Being justified by faith. What does that mean? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Okay? So, having been justified or being justified, you don't have, when were you justified? When you believed or when Jesus was on the cross, right? He justified everybody, okay? But when you believe now, you take ownership of that justification that was accomplished for you. It's like this. If I was to tell you, I want you to go to Click Lewis, I have purchased a car for you. All you've got to do is go pick it up. I've already paid it. The title's in your name, but you got to go pick it up. See, when Christ died on the cross, he justified us, but that's when payment was made. Now, when we believe is when we pick it up. When we believe is when we drive it off the lot. Okay? So, it says, being justified by faith. Okay, now we have peace with God. How do you live as someone who has peace with God? You have communion, you have fellowship, you have intimacy, there's a sharing, there's an exchange. When you gotta live like you're at peace with God. But too many times people live like they're at war with God. Why did you do this, God? They blame God for things in their life. That's not living at peace with God. Besides, you don't even know. I mean, you better check your source. Like, right? You know, when a reporter reports something that's false, it's because they didn't check their source. When we blame God for things, we better check the source. Because how do you know God did it? Maybe the devil did it. Maybe you did it. Uh-oh. I don't like how you talk like that, Pastor. Well, I'm sorry. It's the truth. Do you realize sometimes the mess we get in is self-inflicted? By the choices we make, the things we do or the things we don't do? What you sow is what you reap. Okay, so being justified means we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have access by faith into this grace. Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's goodness. Grace is God's favor. But you have access into God's ability by faith. How would you live if you had God's ability operating in you? You know, we all live this life like Clark Kent. But in times of danger, we go into the phone booth and we become dun-dun, Superman. Clark Kent is always Superman. And he doesn't need to be Superman unless someone's in danger. But when danger occurs, Superman is there. Guess what? When you have grace, you become a Superman or a Superwoman. Grace gives you the ability, it gives you divine ability to work in your life. And you got to walk like you got access to God's grace. Would that change how you walk? Ooh. Oh, yeah. You know, like when you try on a new outfit and it just fits you perfect, you'd be like, oh, yeah, it feels good. It changes the way you walk. So if we know that we have access into this grace, then notice what it says. What do you got to do with this? You got to stand in the grace. How many know if you're in a tall building and you want to use the elevator, pushing the button is not enough. After you push the button, what do you got to do? You got to get into the elevator, right? Pushing the button just opens the door. Faith gives you access, but once you have the access, you got to stand in the elevator so that the elevator can take you up. The elevator can't take you up or down unless you're in it. So think of grace like an elevator. Faith is the button that opens the door, but then you got to step into it. And you got to allow the grace of God to operate through you. What did Paul say? I am what I am by the grace of God. He encouraged people. He wanted grace and peace to be multiplied in their life. What made Paul an apostle? It was the grace of God. We have access into God's grace by faith. Because faith shapes our life. All right? And you don't want to read verse 3 because it's talking about standing in tribulation. But did you know that you can face any circumstance with God's grace? In other words, God's grace is not a piece of tinfoil. It's not easily crumbled in your hand. God's grace can withstand some heat. It can withstand pressure. It can take a load. All right? God's grace is not weak. God's grace is powerful because it's His grace that we have access to. So you tell the devil, when the devil's giving you a hard time, you say, devil, don't mess with me because I'm full of grace. And grace will knock you out. Why? Because grace is powerful. But you got to stand in it. You got to claim it. You got to walk in it. You got to believe it. I mean, do you think David was operating by grace when he faced Goliath? How come no other soldier was willing to go face him? Because no other soldier was standing in the grace of God. But this shepherd boy, he comes on the scene and he hears the words that the giant is saying about his God. And he's like, I'm sorry. No one talks about my God like that. And he stepped into the grace of God. And he went and told Saul, I'll take on that giant. Oh, you can't, you're just a boy. Listen, I killed a bear, I killed a lion. This giant will be just like them. He's talking about the grace of God. Because then how does he fight? He fights with the name. Goliath said, you send a dog out to me with spear and stick. No, David said, no, I come at you with the name of the Lord. Your head's coming off, buddy. David stood in the grace of God. And that's how we got to do if we let faith shape and fashion and inform our life. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 15 and 16. Isn't God good? Yeah. I've never preached anything like this before in my life. This is like fresh manna. It's fresh revelation. Galatians 2, 15 and 16. But we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. We have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you're trying to seek justification in God's sight, if you're trying to get justified for your wrongs that you've committed through the law, you're not going to do it. The law is insufficient to make you just. But faith in Christ will make you just. Faith in Christ will cause you to have the sin nature of you removed. God in heaven, who is the judge, he declares you just. Hallelujah. What is he said, you're just like my son Jesus. When you put your faith in Christ, you became just like Jesus. You had the same access to God that he has. You could do the same works that he did. You could have the same joy that he does. Why? Because he said, I'll put my joy in you. So when God justifies you, he says you're just like Jesus. Do you see yourself like Jesus? Too many times we let the lies that the enemy's told us to shape, fashion, and form our life. Because, see, the enemy is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. And he tells you lies to keep you bound. He tells you negative things. And the more you hear it so much that you begin to believe the negative things. And then you come to a service at VCF. And you discover that what you've been believing is not true. And you hear the truth and you're like, wait a minute, what I've been believing is not true. Listen, throw that belief out like the trash and welcome this one in. Silence the enemy by believing what God says about you. Let what God says about you shape who you are and what you do and whose you are. So faith lives justly. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to prepare your heart and mind that Christianity is a long journey. Christianity is a marathon. Right? Normal marathons are what? 26 miles? You run a marathon differently than you run a sprint. The 100-yard dash, you go all out, full speed from the very get-go, right? But in a marathon, you've got to pace yourself because it's a longer duration. You've got to be able to endure in a marathon because it's longer. It's not just 100 yards. It's 100 yards several times over. And if you were to start a marathon and run as hard as you can, as fast as you can, you will not finish the marathon. Okay? So Christianity, faith is an ongoing journey. There's not one person in here who has arrived. Not me, not you. We're still in this journey by faith, okay? And look at Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 through 23. It says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Look at verse 23. Notice these three words. If you continue, okay? If you continue in the faith, how are you going to continue? You've got to be grounded. You've got to be settled. You've got to be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. If the Bible is telling you to not be moved away, then it's possible to move away. Did Satan move away from heaven? Absolutely. He was not created with evil, but somehow evil got into his heart. Iniquity was found in his heart. And, okay, so not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, in which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So I want you to see that, okay, God's made you blameless. God's made you holy. God made you unreprovable in his sight, but you got to continue in it. You got to be rooted and grounded. If you're not rooted and grounded, you could be electrocuted. Right? A piece of electrical equipment, it has a live wire and it has a ground wire. Now, I'm by no means an electrician. But I know that electrical devices have to be grounded. If they're not grounded, they don't work right. Is that right? Okay? When a Christian is not grounded, things aren't going to work right. You got to be grounded in God's plan. You got to be grounded in God's way. God's got a way of doing things. Okay? But faith is an ongoing journey. Go to chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How do you walk? One step at a time, right? So when you receive Christ, you got to take it one day at a time. All right? Each and every day, when you wake up, you have new mercies that are yours that are available. My mercies are new every morning, okay? But you got to walk in Christ. Walk means you take one step at a time, one day at a time. All right? And does it say to stop walking? No. Why? Because faith is an ongoing journey. Okay? Verse 7, he's saying the same thing. Rooted and built up in him. You got to be rooted in Christ. He's the anchor to your soul. You got to be built up in him. Listen, the only person that makes you complete in this world is Christ. No other person makes you complete. I'm sorry, those of you that are married, you did not become complete when you got married. You became complete when you gave your heart to Christ. Because the Apostle Paul said, I stand complete in him. In him we live and move and have our being. Okay? So if you want to go, if you want to make this journey, you're going to have to be rooted. You're going to have to be built up in him. You're going to have to be established in the faith. As you have been taught, you're going to have to be taught. So obviously, God's got a place for you to be taught in his plan. That place in God's kingdom where you're taught is the church, right? I like to tell people this. You know, Caleb's a doctor. In order to be a doctor, he had to go to medical school, right? If Caleb was a police officer, he'd have to go to a place that teaches criminology, right? Or if you're going to be a teacher, he would have to go to a place that teaches about education. So God has designed a place for us to be taught called the church. The church is part of God's plan. It's an important part of God's plan. And notice, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Whoo! So you got to, in other words, you ought to become more thankful and more, you got to abound with thanksgiving. That word abound speaks of increase. If you want to accomplish the journey of faith, you're going to have to become a thankful person. You're going to have a grateful heart. All right? Because that's part of you're going to need thanksgiving on this journey. And the one you got to be thankful for is God, because you're going to encounter some bad things. How many know, in the journey that we've lived so far, we've encountered some things that were unexpected, things that weren't pleasant, things that weren't good, right? There's going to be more of that. You're going to encounter things that are not pleasant, they're not good, but you got to be rooted and grounded in him. You got to be teachable. You got to be given thanksgiving. And that's going to get you, that's going to help you go the journey. Our journey will end here when Jesus returns. Until that time, we got to be rooted and grounded in him. We got to be taught. We got to be abounding with thanksgiving. Okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Still talking about faith as an ongoing journey. And I've only gotten to point two. My goodness. Look at verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Let no man despise your youth. Let me tell you, young people, no one should despise you because you're young. All right? David was young. Joseph was young. Daniel was young. Guess what? They did great things. How do you get people not to despise you? He goes on to say, be an example of believers in word. Get in the word to the point where the word gets in you. How do you know you've been in the word long enough? When the word gets in you, it starts coming out of you. Be an example in conversation. That's how you live. Be an example in charity or love. Be an example in spirit or zeal. Be an example in faith. Be an example in purity. Don't pollute your mind with junk. All right? He said, till I come. How long are we supposed to do this? Till he comes, right? Has Jesus come the second time? No. So guess what? Job security. You keep being example in these things till he comes. And then he says, give attendance or attention to reading. If you weren't a reader, I'm sorry, you must become one. Give attention to exhortation or preaching or encouragement, and give attention to doctrine or teaching. Neglect not the gift that's in you. See, when you don't pay attention to these things, you neglect the gift that's in you. Is it possible to neglect the gift that's in you? Yes. By being a lazy, slothful Christian. You know, God's got gifts in every one of you. God has an investment in you. Okay? Which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery or the preachers. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Should we be able to see your progress in your life? Yes. Your progress, your profiting ought to be able to, people ought to be able to see how you're progressing in these things, in word, in spirit, in charity, in faith, in purity, in exhortation, in doctrine. Take heed to yourself. Along the way, examine yourself. Sometimes we got to do a self-checkup. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I where God wants me to be? Do I have the attitudes that Christ loves? I mean, sometimes along this journey, we got to stop and do some self-examinations, right? On this journey, you're going to get thirsty because it's a long journey. You got to stop and drink some water. Take heed to yourself. Examine yourself. It's better for you to examine yourself than for God to examine you. It's much more pleasant when you examine yourself and correct it versus God examining you and said, look. You know the story of Elijah? The prophet Elijah, he had his greatest victory in facing the prophets of Baal. He took on 400 prophets and he faced them on Mount Carmel. He defeated them. He called down fire from heaven. After soaking the altar three times with barrels of water, he prayed and fire came down from heaven and licked up everything that was on the wet soaking altar. Everybody knew that he was God's man and he did God's work. But upon, at the end of his greatest victory, he suffered his greatest defeat. He received a letter from Jezebel saying that she was going to kill him, and she had done that in the past, so she had a reputation. He took that letter and he began to run the wrong way. And just to make a long story short, he ended up in a cave. And instead of examining himself, he was having a pity party. He was saying, well, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that stood for God in Israel. I'm the only one. No one helped me. No one encouraged me. I'm the only one. And God saw him in the cave and said, what are you doing here? You know, when God says, what are you doing in here? You ought to get a clue you're in the wrong place. What happened in that cave? God did an earthquake, a fire. God wasn't in the hills, but God was in a still small voice. That still small voice came to Elijah and told him, I want you to anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. Because Elijah did not take the time to self-examine himself, he basically ended his ministry there. Now, his ministry could have went on further. I mean, it did, but how many know when God tells you to anoint your replacement, you're done? Now, yeah, he got to go to heaven in blazing chariots, but could he have done more work here? A simple self-examination could have prevented that. He could have checked his heart. You know, it's like going to Walmart and you can check your blood pressure there in the pharmacy department. They got that machine. You do a self-examination, right? Check your heart periodically. See if you're lining up with what God said. See if you're lining up with His Word. And if you're not, just make some simple adjustments and corrections. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. You see that word continue? That's telling me it's an ongoing journey. For in doing this, you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. Wow. You mean by self-examining yourself? I know that's kind of redundant, self-examining yourself. Doing a self-examination. You can save yourself and others? Wow. That's powerful. Faith is an ongoing journey. And let me just go over one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did you know that faith has a language? The language that faith speaks is word. Faith speaks the word of God. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. We having, that's present and ongoing, the same spirit of faith. Whoo! You have the same spirit of faith as David. You have the same spirit of faith as Esther. You have the same spirit of faith as Ruth, Daniel, Joseph. As Deborah, I'm covering guys and girls, young and old, right? You have the same spirit of faith as Abraham and Sarah, as Zechariah and Elizabeth. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Your faith comes from what's written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. You believed what was written, and you spoke what was written. We also believe and therefore speak. So faith talks. Faith speaks. Jesus spoke to mountains. He spoke to dead. He spoke to fig trees. He spoke to dead people. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to waves. He spoke to body parts. Faith speaks. And the language that faith speaks is the Word of God. You can form, fashion, and shape your life by the word of God that you speak out of your mouth. That's the spirit of faith. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. The pattern. A pattern is something over a period of time. Right? It's here, here, here. You can follow the pattern. Hold fast to a pattern of sound words. Wow, that's powerful. Tonight, in this place, are faith giants. I want you to stir your faith up. I want you to ignite your faith fire on the inside of you. I want you to get excited about being a person of faith and letting your faith shape, fashion, and form your life. It'll change how you act. It'll change how you think. It'll change how you behave. And it'll change your circumstances. I think the guy's name was Telemachus. And he lived during the time when they would put Christians in the arena with the gladiators. And to make a long story short, I read this in the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs. Telemachus ran out into the field where Christians were being slaughtered by the gladiators, and he called for this action to stop. He couldn't take it, seeing the destruction of Christians, so he got up out of the stands and he ran onto the field. You know, we've seen people in ballparks run onto the field, you know, and the security is chasing them. But this guy ran onto the field and says, "Stop! Stop! This needs to stop." And in the process, he lost his life. But you know what happened shortly after? The gladiator stopped destroying Christians because one person acted by faith. And yes, he gave his life. He was a martyr, but what he gave stopped a very gruesome act from going forward. He changed the course of history. Did you know that you can change history by your faith? You can do amazing things with your faith that you have in your heart right now. Amen. Let's stand up. And I want you to just stir up the gift or gifts that's in you. I want you just to praise God and just cry out to God. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight, Lord, that you have given to every one of us the measure of faith. Lord, faith comes by hearing your word, by hearing and hearing your word. Lord, you are we're to have faith in you. The faith that we have comes from you. Oh, we give you thanks. Get excited about believing God. Get excited about stepping out in faith. Get excited about the changes that are going to take place in your life, in your family. I feel this is going to be a dawning of a new day for you. With the information that God is putting in your, keep praising him, with the information that God's putting in your heart, you're going to begin to activate change in your history, change in your lineage, and change in your family. I see change coming to you by faith. As you heed the word of God, and as you speak the word of God, and as you do the word of God, listen, God's word will not let you down. God's word will not fail you, but it'll hold you up. It'll bear up under anything. It'll sustain you. It'll keep you. It'll strengthen you. It'll embolden you, and you'll see great things come to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You are a can-do people. I want you to kick can't out of your life, kick it out of your mind, and kick it out of your vocabulary. There's nothing you can't do, because with faith, all things, people who believe, all things are possible when you believe. See, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. Hallelujah. Faith does great things. It moves mountains. It shakes the heavens. It moves heaven and earth on your behalf. Hallelujah. May you be strong in faith. May your faith be emboldened and energized. It's time for a faith lift to remove the wrinkles of doubt and the wrinkles. Let the heat of God's goodness come on you and iron out the wrinkles, iron out the creases, and get it smooth in your life. Hallelujah. Let's get excited about faith. You're going to step out into different things. For some of you, you've been released from fear. And just by being released from fear causes you to do great things. Oh, just have faith in God. Faith in God. You can do all things with faith in God. You've got access into grace by faith. You can get wisdom by faith. You can become wiser by faith. You can gain understanding by faith. You can change circumstances by faith. But the change is, the greatest change is going to occur on the inside of you. Those people that God's been bringing to you to talk to him about, to talk to them about him, it's going to become easier and easier. It's time that we shake up our schools. You can shake up your schools by faith. Amen. Come on, some of you high schoolers, you need to shake up the high school by faith and be radical believers in Jesus Christ. We got to hear testimonies of, I laid hands on my friend at school and he got healed. He got touched by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to get excited about faith. Faith is good. Nothing you can't do. The devil can't stop faith. With faith, you have the ability to walk on him. You can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Faith does the impossible. It sees the invisible.